All right, so let's start out. Is the projector working yet, or not yet?
Yeah, I know,
it
can't be. It's so little. Okay.
So you're like, rush, you're saying. So little, you're like, it was $50,000.
So we've been discussing this question of Shevis and Ripley Diahema. Last thing we ended with was the Mordechai and Bava Kamma. And Mordechai was a strong advocate of there being no Shevis and Ripley for a Behema. His argument seemed to turn on that Shevis and Ripley Behema amount to a kind of grama, and so you can't collect it. Right? How did the Mordechai explain the distinction between Shevis and Ripley for an Adam? Why are you liable for Chabal of Shevis and Ripley if it's a grama? So it wasn't so clear, right? Remember, there's like a bit of a tension in the Mordechai's formulation, whether it's... Can anybody remember the tension?
Talking about Garmi.
What?
He's like talking about Garmi.
Yes, the Garmi, Grama. So at one point he seemed to say something about you're liable for Ripoy Badam because on Karkach Yeshul Likin L'Rofe, something that you have to expend the money, but for Behema you don't really have to expend the Tashlumei Ripoy. It's like the owner could decide whether he wants to spend it. Does that sound right? So that was part of the distinction here. But then we also had this separate distinction about you're not chayiv for a grama when it comes to a behema. Although this wasn't perfectly clear in the language of the Mordechai himself. Part of the Mordechai's distinction also turned on this idea that when you're mafsid someone's mamon, so then that hefsid mamon causes a further hefsid mamon, which is the loss of Shevis and Ripoy. Right? That's how he conceptualized it as a kind of garmi. What? Yeah, it's more removed, conceptually more removed. So I was a little troubled by this, just because it's not clear to me that does the Mordechai have a good argument here showing that the loss to the animal itself is more direct than the expenditures of Ripoy and Shevis? That's the question. Meaning, why is it so clear that the nezek to the behema is more direct than the nezek of the Ripoy of the behema, or the nezek of the Shevis of the behema? Isn't it just a conceptual question about which one of these is seen as primary and which one of these is seen as secondary? Leah, do you have a good answer to that? What? So give me a defense. I mean, defend the Mordechai here, right?
Sure. I don't know. What are you looking for here?
I'm not
like, why would Mordechai make
this
distinction?
Yeah, I mean, is it a compelling distinction? Uncompelling?
I'm saying, maybe it's even more distinction than Mordechai's making.
Yeah, so let's assume he's making the Mazdik Mammon and Osa Mammon causes a Hefsid Mammon Acher.
Okay. So like I said last time, the degrees of proximity.
Idea. Yeah, but I'm saying, but is that degrees of proximity idea sufficiently clear?
I think so. I think not just in Grama and Mizikin, but in general, when you think of Grama as a lawful concept, a lot of what Grama has to do, but there's either a time or an action or some sort of lag or distance between an actor and an action. So this two here, you're creating a space or a distance between actor and actor.
So is this meant to be like a time, temporal distance?
So, okay, you could argue something, but you don't even have to do it. So, okay, even within like drama in general, like when it comes to drama in general, like time is just one of the spark
for
the distance that's...
Good. So I think you can either view this as like a primitive consent that the distinction here fundamentally is about like conceptual degrees of removal. Like for some reason we construe the damage as to the car, and then there's that damage to the car causes the owner to incur like lost profits and like mechanical bills. That's, I guess, one way of looking at it. The counter argument to that is that no, the mazik directly caused the owner to have to spend money to fix his car, and he caused him to directly lose his profits for the day. That's the counter argument. But another way of putting it, and I think this is what Liat's getting at, is that you could reduce this distinction to a temporal distinction also. The idea is that the first thing that the mazik does is that he causes like immediate harm to the item itself. So he causes damage to the car. Later, because of the damage to the car, the nizak incurs mechanical fees and he also incurs lost profits. So maybe Mordecai is not trying to make a conceptual distinction here at all about you cause hesed mammon and that mammon causes further hesed mammon. Maybe he's just really making a temporal distinction that the maisa nezek pertains to the davar hanizak, and then at a further point in time that causes some sort of cost of repair as well as lost profits. So maybe the grumma point really here reduces to some sort of temporal distinction as well. I think it's a different way of looking at the Mordecai here. Okay? Eitan, that sounds good? I think that's a good way of thinking of it. So I think the conceptual distinction is a little more difficult to maintain. That's the... Noah, you have something to say, and then we'll...
I just don't exactly understand what you're saying. Like, there's a temporal lag.
Yeah. So when I crash into your car, so I cause nezek to the car right now, at a further point in time, you'll incur mechanical fees, and you'll incur like lost profits for not being able to use it.
So temporal lag creates a disconnect between the chiyuv.
Yeah, between the mazik and the devar aniza. Okay. Right. So the point is that when he said about the mazik and mamono, he's not like relying on this conceptual idea that like conceptually the nezek occurs to the car, not to the mechanical bills and the lost profits. He's making a temporal distinction about like how closely the nezek is linked in time to the mazik's actions. I think that's maybe a more plausible way of understanding the. And then you might say, well, then how does the al karkoch in the case of the human in the Kabbalah relate to that? Right? You say when you're mazik somebody in the person, the Kabbalah, so since they have to expend repoy bills, so that's no longer considered to be garmi. That's considered to be more direct, right? So the question is, does this make more sense on the conceptual reading of the Mordechai? That, oh, because you have to expend the doctor bills, so it's as if he's mazik you directly by what you have to expend? Or is that somehow trying to mend, like, the temporal lag? That, like, the fact that you want to spend these things or have to spend these things compensates for the temporal distance between the mice and ezek and the lost money. So, I mean, I'm not so sure about that. I'm not sure how this relates to the former question. Okay. So the Ktsos interpreting the Mordechai has a nice interpretation here. He thinks that what's going on, this is not an agreed reading with Mordechai, is that the Mordechai thinks in general that Sheves and Ripui are Garmi. They're Garmi both in the case of Chavalah and the case of Sheves and Ripui Bebehema. But there's a second principle in Halacha that Garmi Ba'adam is Chayev, whereas Garmi Bebehema is Pater. So the Mordechai is not trying to make a fundamental distinction between the way the mazik's actions relate to Sheves and Ripui Ba'adam versus Sheves and Ripui Bebehema. Really, they're the same. The distinction is one of like the second order rule about how Garmi relates to Adam versus Behema. And that's what explains why there's no Sheves and Ripui Bebehema, but yes for Adam. So you see the Ktsos's readings, really kind of dismisses this idea of the al-karchachitin lo-lerofe, right? This idea of like you're having to spend the money, making it more of like a direct nezek, more directly connected to the mazik's actions. For the Ktsos, the distinction between Adam and Behema boils down to a general garmi principle that garmi ba-adam is going to be chayiv. And it doesn't seem like it's because the mazik or the nezek is more closely related to the mazik's action in that case. Right? It's a general rule. So, l'chein nir, here we have Mordechai b'machalik bein garmi de mamon l'garmi de adam. V'mishim da ashechan adam ba'adam v'misham shevet z'ripoi af al-gav v'shevet z'ripoi enu el-grama. Alma chayiva ha-torah adam ba'adam v'hiskei garmi. And of course, what stays constant across the whole theory is that Sheves v'Ripoi is Eino Elegrama. See that? So, of course, what has to be explained on the Ktsos's view is, well, why is Garmi v'Adam Chayiv, whereas Garmi v'Behema is going to be Pater?
How does Alma fit in there?
Where?
Alma Chayiva Torah.
Here? Well, it's like you reconstruct from the fact that Sheves and Ripoy is Chayev Ba'adam. So it's like, assume that Sheves and Ripoy is Grama. That's like taken for granted. assume that Shabbos and Replay is Chai Ba'adam, but not for Behema. Both of those assumptions are, right, can be challenged. So, well, you see that it must be that Grom Ba'adam is Chai, whereas Grom Behema is Potter.
Right, it just seems like he's using the wrong process of thinking there. Like,
well, it depends, right? It depends. Well, right, because obviously if you think that their Shabbos and Replay applies to Behema, like we'll see the Nasivis, this is going to be a bad argument. And also, same if you think that Shevis and Ripoy are not really Grama, like one reading of the Mordechai seemed to say, right? If it's Al-Karkach, Tzarech, Litain, Dmei Refuah for an Adam, then it's not really Grama, right? But this is the Ketosis way of trying to make sense of the Mordechai. Okay, good. So we'll talk about, when we get to Grama, we'll talk about why there might be a distinction between Adam and Behema. But we don't have to get into this right now. Donnie, good? Yeah, Ben? Good? Okay. Selter, good? Okay. So the Nasivis disagrees with this. The Nasivis thinks that there's a strong case to be made. This is the Nasivis and Simon Shin Mem. That Shevet and Ripui make Iker Adin are Chai for Behema. Meaning it's not considered to be Grama, there's a liability even maker at din. Now look at the way he motivates this, which is very interesting. He says, L'chor kasha, and this is how I tried to motivate it in the last Chabura, Kiva de Peros b'nei mechira nindu, d'ha yachol l'mochro sadeu behemto l'peros, u'kishem aziko she'enu yachol l'mochro l'zeh, hezek mamon gamorhu. So what's the Nasim is doing in this first line? What's he trying to do here? Avram, what's he doing here in this first line?
As he's saying that since there sort of you can trade them in, sort of like you kind of conflate the two of them, and therefore it's direct.
Exactly. He's saying, look, since there's like a direct market for mechiras habehema lip heroseha. Right, there's like labor, there's a labor market for animals. So causing the nizak to lose the market value of the peiros habehema is itself a kind of direct nezek. Right? So it's like mechatesi that the Mordechai is right. That the first thing you have to look at is the loss to the physical item itself. Right? The nezek to the guf. And then the nezek aguf causes like this further loss to the peiros usage. And the Nasivis is saying that's not true. The peiros usage is like its own commodity. And that's directly harmed by the mazik's actions. Does everybody see that? That's the first move that the Nasivis makes. Noah.
How is this different than just saying that Shevet is Nichlal and Nezek? Is it saying that is essentially making the same argument that there's a change in market value and that's what's considered nezek? Sorry, not Shevet Ripoy.
Yeah, good. So another way of putting this is that he's saying since you could always sell the animal for its peiros, so even within nezek, you could speak of the loss of Shevet. Right? That's another way of putting this. Meaning, there's no way of drawing a clear-cut distinction between nezek to the guf and sheves of a lost usage. Right? Does everybody see Noah's formulation? So it's slightly different from Avram's formulation. What do you think the nafka mina is going to be? Isaac, you have a...
I didn't think they were saying anything.
What?
I didn't get the difference.
So, Avram's saying that there's a direct market for the sheves value of the behema. So that's nezek yashir. You directly cause damage to my loss of profits. And Noah's saying we could sneak in the sheves value into the nezek value. By like, what's the difference in value of this thing based off its lack of usage for...
So like, if there's no market for labor?
Okay, that might be a nafkamina. Or another nafkamina is what's the right value to pay? Do you pay like the actual? Remember, we saw this machlokas in the Machane Ephraim and the Beis Ephraim, about, do you pay the actual lost profits value? Right, I deprive the Uber driver of 6 days of labor, so I pay him the amount of profits he would have made for those 6 days. Or do I pay the difference that the car has were you to be able to sell it to an Uber driver who wouldn't be able to use it for those 6 days? Right, that's the nafka mina. And you'll see the Nesiva is actually, in his answer, takes a side on this. So there are two ways of really reading this question. Right, the question is, when he says Hezek Mamon Gomorhu, is he saying in an Avram sense that this is like direct damage because like I directly lost the use value? Or is he saying that this falls under like the category of Nezek because now there's the commodity itself is worth less? Okay, then he has a second way of motivating this idea. Atu im Yisrael Yiskor Beis Bayis Obehema Leperos Al Shtei Shanim Mehagai. So he's saying, suppose you lease a car or you lease a home, and then a mazik comes and destroys the property that you leased. So who suffers the actual nezek costs?
The
non-Jewish owner, right? But who suffers the sheves costs? The Yisrael, right? The lessee. So he's saying, if you think that there's no sheves for a behema, then it would seem that I could destroy the house that you've been renting or the car that you've been leasing and not have to compensate you at all. Because the difference in value to the commodity is fully suffered by the owner, not the lessee. See that? And he thinks that's absurd. Now, someone might say in economy, right? He thinks that's an absurd conclusion. So what does he answer? He answers that, of course, you're liable for Sheves. And he says, the only times where you would not be held liable is if the damage fully cures itself. But once you hit a threshold of nezek, that there's some sort of scar, or there's some sort of loss that's not fully going to repair, then not only are you liable for nezek, you're also liable for ripui and sheves as well. That's his main argument over here. He says, "Mishum hakim sara habayis hamuskar ohemes abehema hamuskarash asar kisar beguf." So long as there's some sort of like physical damage to the thing itself, chayev l'shalim la'asocher. Now, you can see that Nesivus comes out intuitively on the side of liability for Sheves so far. But where do you think the unintuitive consequence lies? Meaning, like, even by his own lights, by his own, like, questions that he poses in the beginning, it seems like he's still going to have to absorb some sort of, like, there are going to be exceptions to these questions over here, right? So where he thinks that, here he thinks you clearly have to pay, but over here he acknowledges that certain cases where you're not going to pay. So what cases are those? So there are cases where there's no tzalekes, right? Cases where there's no lingering scar to the damage that the mazik caused. So the damage would fully heal itself. So all there is sheves, let's say, lost usage. But you'll get the usage back. So suppose the mazik in this case locks you out of the home that you're leasing. And you could just take the lock off and you could walk back in at some point. So is he going to be liable for sheves according to the Nesivus? Yeah, it seems not, right? Seems not, because he thinks there's a necessary condition that has to be satisfied, but there has to be some sort of nezek in order to trigger the tashlumei sheves.
Right, so it's not Machane Ephraim, we said that.
Machane Ephraim disagrees.
Right, if there's no nezek, that's when there's sheves.
Right. Here it's kind of the opposite. He thinks a necessary condition for being able to collect sheves is that there's some sort of chisaron b'davar. But if it's so low, then you're putter. So Seltzer's right that this is kind of the exact opposite of Machane Ephraim. Machane Ephraim's point is that when you're not paying Nezek, then it's obvious that you're going to pay Sheves. And Sivis, we'll see why he says this, has the exact opposite view. He thinks that it's only when there's some liability for Nezek that we can then trigger Tashlumin for Sheves as well. Okay? So, for example, the Machane Ephraim was explicit, if I lock you out of your home, I'd be liable to pay Sheves because there's no Nezek. He seems to have the exact opposite view. If I lock you out of your home where there's no Nezek, just Sheves, I'd be pater from paying. No.
When he says that it's Sheino Lachzor, is that talking physically, is that solely physical, or like can that also be like motor function?
Good question. Yeah, I would think motor function also. That's like
an example of Talak.
Yeah, it's a lekes. It's like a scar or something.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's a lekes, we'll call him a stoif. I mean, the same thing if you're going to be limping or something, and that's like bona fide nezek as well. Yeah. I think it's kind of a peculiar view, right? That like Sheva should depend on there being some minimum threshold of Shlomo's here. Shlomo will tell us probably that the reason why you limp is probably because there's some scar tissue like on the inside.
Yeah, you get damaged, you don't fully feel. Ever.
Okay. Well,
only 70 to 80%.
Oh yeah.
Of a scar, even if you cut yourself, yeah, it's never the same.
That's a problem.
So you're saying there's no case. You're saying there's no case where there's where there's a nezek that's fully repairs itself.
That's the great thing.
Do bones get stronger after you break them?
So you're saying the nasivus is not really in trouble. You're saying the nasivus is not, at least in cases of injury, the nasivus is not really in trouble. Like you're like an animal or something.
Big trouble. It's enormous trouble.
Well, he'll say
this is not true. Every single case, according to Shlomo, every single case.
Right, but the nasivus is just saying. The nasivus is saying, well, if it's the case that it fully heals, then you're not going to be liable for Sheves. And I'm saying, well, that's crazy because. Why does it depend on whether it fully heals? Or Shlomo's telling us, well, it's a false antecedent, right? Because it never fully heals. So it means you're always going to have liability for Sheves whenever there's some sort of nezek.
With respect to animals, it fully heals.
Oh, yeah?
It doesn't matter whether like, it actually heals in reality. Their value is completely the same.
If an animal has a scar on its leg, does it lose market value?
It's like a Sori Mosin Para case.
So, like, right, you put right, like, in the, you know, body of the animal.
Right.
Broken leg, 6 years ago.
Yeah, for sure,
why are there Mum holders? Well, why is there Mum? Well, Mum is over, but it doesn't mean it's fully closer. It's Kilasa, right? It just means that the thing that's problematic for Karbanos passes. So then the Masivis moves into the Repoy aspect, and he says, just like there's going to be Sheves for Behema, so too, if Nolda Maka Bibshia Sashomer Behema, Vinechzar Ha'or, Ad She'af Kishe Yisrape Yaseb Or Tzalekes. Same condition, right? If there's going to be some sort of lingering scar, then that's going to generate liability for replay as well. The hefset mamon vaday nikra nezek, raksha inam eschad l'shalim, nezek rakish nechisro. So it's the same method here, right? He's subsuming replay under nezek, and that's why you have to meet the necessary conditions for nezek in order to be held liable for replay. So it's the same, it's really the same move that he makes for Sheves and replay. Now, how does he explain the Mordechai? Remember, the Mordechai seemed to say that there's no Sheves and Repoy for a Behema. So is the Nesivus in tension with the Mordechai? Does he have a way of dismissing the Mordechai's opposition to him? So he says very nicely, and this you can understand now why he has this necessary condition of the scar remaining. The near looking at that side, Mordechai lo kasa zeh rakam makam sha'af belo Repoy yofa lakso lekadmuso. He thinks the Mordechai only says this in the case that there's no tashlumin ripoy when the animal will self-heal without spending any medical costs, without paying any doctors. So he thinks that the Mordechai would agree to his argument that when there's some sort of wound that needs a doctor to heal it, then it would be Kashlumei Ripui as well.
Isn't that a limit of finish with Mordecai?
Yeah, 100%. He wants to bring the Mordecai back into his camp. Well, you can see, because the Nesivus is adamant that there's real grounds for Tashlumei Ripui and Sheves. Okay. Now, here's the Nesivus' critical move. So how does he know that, right? How does he know that there's liability for Tashlumei Ripui in most cases? So what would you say? What's the best argument to try to prove that there's got to be Tashlumei Ripui for Nezek to a Behema, Isaac? I mean,
I can see what he said.
Yeah, what's the argument?
Some sort of restoration argument in general. Then?
Duty of repair, right? That's what we spoke about last week, right? Of course, if you have a chiyuv v'taken in a kli, so you have a chiyuv v'taken in the behema. Why should the mere fact that it's an animate being absolve you from the chiyuv v'taken?
It's not really a chiyuv v'taken now. It's only if you have an unrepairable damage are you chayav for repair.
No, he says that if it's reparable only al yaday rofe, then you have a liability.
Right.
So you have a chiyuv v'taken, right? Right?
Oh, and in between case.
So look what he says. This is his critical move here. I think he's right. This is what I was trying to motivate last week. V'raya v'rulazem in the dafnun ches. So here's where even Jonah was not here, but even Jonah and Avram could participate. Right? So what's the raya from Dita dafnun ches? You know that case? So it's a case where you have somebody else's clothing and then they end up with a kesem on them. So you have a chiyuv to pay for the tikkun hakli. You have to pay for the dry cleaning bills. Okay? So he's saying, look, if the Gemara tells us explicitly that when I borrow your shirt and it gets dirty, that I have to pay for the dry cleaning bills, so then kol shekein v'kal v'chomer, or at least hu adin, that I have to pay for the ripui habehema. What's the difference between them? So I take your shirt, it gets dirty, I have to pay for the cleaning costs, I take your animal and I wound it, of course I have to pay for the repair. Right? And here again, here's another rival. So if I cause damage to your home, the mere fact that someone is able to fix it, you could hire a construction man to fix the house, that means there's no nezek, and that I should be putter from all tashlumin. Because there's no nezek, after all, you could just pay somebody to fix it. So these are good rayas, these bad rayas.
The case with the house?
Yeah.
Didn't we have, I'm forgetting where it was, but wasn't there a question about like when you're restoring a house, how it could be a new entity?
Yeah.
Yeah, like
we'll talk about
that. Okay.
Yeah.
I forgot who said that. Oh, yeah. So that would be a... Like, I guess he would say, no, it's the same house, or...
Well, we'll get that in a second. But here, notice the argument here. The argument here is that if it's the case that I'm not liable to pay you Tashlumei Ripui for your behema, then it should also be the case that when I break your kli or I destroy your home, holds mind that you could just pay somebody, like a contractor, to fix it, that's not nezek, because it's just repoy. So if I'm liable in the house case, then I should also be liable in the behema case. So what's the difference between repoy and tikkun? That's his main move.
I just
need to
be like so against the Mordecai's argument. Like, he's saying the Mordecai abuses, but it seems to be so against it. Like, the Mordecai is saying, like, that's a grumma type of thing.
Case of behemoth. So suppose the damage that I caused your behemoth.
That's not the case for behemoth. It's like saying that not true that we need to repair it.
Right, and he's saying that that can't be what the Mordecai is saying, because that's absurd. That, right, that would entail that if I destroy your car, so long as a mechanic can fix it, I'm not liable to compensate you at all. Right, and so he was saying clearly what the real principle is, that I have a chiyuv to pay for the tikkun of your car in the same way that I have a chiyuv to pay for the tikkun of your behema. That's what Nesivus' argument. And he's saying the Mordechai has got to be on board for this. Because what principle distinction can there be between Kli and behema? All right? Good?
Yeah.
Does everybody see the issue? Right. Compelling argument. I mean, I think it's a pretty good argument. Yeah. So the Nesivus has to bite. He has to bite one bullet. Because remember, the Mordechai grounded his argument. The Mordechai's argument was really grounded on this Gemara about Zorik Matbea Shel Chaver Liyam. So what's the halach on that case? Well, Pater. So why are you Pater? Because it's just grama, right? Just go pull it out. So you have to pay a diver to bring it out. That's not my cost. That's your cost. I just caused you to incur it. So what does the Nesivus do in that case?
There's a
Nesivus
in the
group. Yeah, so that's what the Nesivus is trying to fit into his framework. He's saying, well, remember I held that there's a necessary condition that there has to be some nezik begufa davar. And maybe in the diving case where you throw the coin in, there's no nezik begufa davar there. That's the way he has to finesse that case. Or maybe that's part of the reason why he constructs this whole theory around the necessary condition that there's some nezik begufa davar.
If I pick up your wall and I move it somewhere else, it's not related.
So long as it's easily retrievable for you. So there's a whole discussion in that Gemara.
Even if it costs millions of dollars for a tree bed, actually.
Well,
even if it costs millions of dollars for a tree bed,
yeah.
I bury it in the bottom of the ocean. I keep it in its wall.
Yeah, so there's some discussion in that case of the coin about how accessible is it. But assuming it's as accessible as that case is, then in a chanami, right? It's just like I caused you like to spend extra money to retrieve it. And then Siva seems to bite that bullet also. Okay? So, the main job of the Chazon Ish, Siman Yud Gimel here, is to try to defend the Mordechai, or at least the straightforward meaning of the Mordechai, from the Nesivus's attacks. So, the Mordechai, the Chazon Ish makes two moves. His first move is to argue that there's a fundamental distinction between Sheves and Ripui. His second move is to argue that there's an important distinction between Tikkun Bekli and Ripoy Bevehema. So, in the first part, in Siman Yud Gimel Sif Aleph, the Chazon Ish wants to concede that it's possible that there are some times where you're liable to pay Sheves for a Behema, but mostly because Sheves is included in the way we evaluate the Nesikin. But for Refuah, the Chazon Ish wants to say that there's no way you'll be liable for Refuah. So whereas the Nesivus thought that both Sheves and Ripoy go together, the Chazon Ish thinks that it's possible you'd be liable for Sheves Bevehema, but certainly not for Ripoy. So why would you not be liable for Ripoy according to the Chazon Ish? So here's the critical phrase. I think it's, how much do you agree with it? Kiman she'efshar l'salek es ha'nezek a'idei refua lo mikri nezikin klal ela ha'vei kikshara yadeha v'ragleha v'lo mikri nezek ela goreim torea l'hatira v'afilu yitzarech l'hotzi hotzal sa'ar fuasa mikomachom lo mikri nezek ela grama.
Annoying.
So, what?
Yeah.
I caused you a little extra tircha, like the coin diving case, right? Is that plausible to you, Selter? Is that he's saying, what? When I caused you to spend the medical bills to pay the doctors, that's just like trying to, like, you have to like untie like this rope that I put around your animal.
He's saying the cost of the medical bills is the trauma. Then having to kill your animal is like just like finding speed and legs together.
and money. Even if I cause you to spend money on it, still, like, that's not me directing it. That's a promo.
One of these is Gorem Torea. Right? And even if you have to spend money, that's just Grama Peshlumen.
Right.
So what do you think the distinction is?
The first thing is that it's not, that's not grounds for compensation at all. Because there's no monetary loss, it's just some sort of burden. And the second thing is that even though it's monetary loss, it's only a grama.
Well, the Gram Tircha is where you're spending money to have somebody heal it, right?
I don't think you're on time. I don't know. You have to, like, cleanse your animal and, like, go off pet or something. So it feels better.
I mean, these are just, like, general costs that you incur in, like,
Time costs. They're, like,
annoying. Tircha?
Yeah. You have to, like, bring in food more often or something.
You're saying this is on the assumption that the doctors could do it for free?
Yeah, you're going to have to, I think, if...
I think both ones just came to the point that this is gram, tircha, and this is grama, the most that you have to spend. They're both forms of grama. You can't view these as like actual damages caused by the mazik.
I'm not sure what the value of it is, but
it's not gram tircha. It's more than gram tircha. It's like gram most that you have to expend for the costs.
Right, the first thing is free.
But the point is that the tour gets still based on grama, right? This can't be considered damage that I caused to the animal, right? Now, of course, this just begs the question, right? Why is this different then from tikkun akli? In a kli case where I cause destruction to your objects, I have to pay for it to be fixed. So why here is this considered gram tircha? Yeah.
Kli becomes totally new kli, all hema stays the same.
Why does it stay the same?
Right, he says kind of
the
in an animal itself, it has really the power to heal itself.
Yes, exactly. That's what the Chazanish here has to say. So, Shlomo, are you going to be our consultant for this Chazanish?
It's not a vet.
Well?
It's not a vet.
Yes.
It's just Shita.
It's all Messiah Mana. So Chazanish kind of realizes that the Nesivus is a good argument here, right? If you're Chayav Tikkun for Kli, Shmi Chayav Rikwe for Behema. It says, Mi Udavka B'Bal Chay, Shayach Lomar, Dechol She'efshar Lachzar B'Refua, L'Kadmusa, Lo Karina Le'Nezek, Ela Karina Le'Gram Torah. Right? So like a doctor's bills for a living animal is Gram Kirva. Aval Kli, She'pachma Le'Olam, Rikwe Nezek, She'zeh She'uman Mithakna Hu Kli Chadash, Ve'en Kli Chozo L'Kadmusa Le'Olam. So I think like Shlomo was saying, even the same thing is true for an animal. Right? An animal is never close to the kind of musulilum either. V'dafi v'chai, sheish lo koach lehitzrapim me'atzmo, v'migrim avrim. V'ach u'mokam shemirapim v'sama. So he's saying, look, in most cases, an animal could cure itself. So that's why ripui, as a category, is understood as gram tircha. Right? But then he says, even in cases where it can't cure itself, you need the doctors to cure it. The doctors rock ozer l'refuah shel koach achai she'ein hasam in mirabim bazrames. His raya is that like a doctor can't bring a dead animal back alive. So that means that even when a doctor is like curing an animal where it couldn't otherwise cure itself, the animal is the one that's really doing the self curing, and the doctor is just he's just assisting. So he's saying a kli, once it incurs damage, it's gone. And it's like the tikkun is like re-turning it into a kli chadash. But the ripoy is just assisting the like internal powers that the animal has, and that's why it constitutes gram tircha. Shlomo, does that sound good to you, or... I mean, you see where he's coming from, right? He's saying, like, there's something different about the tikkun akli from, like, ripoy behema, because, like, living beings have, like, powers of self-repair. And, like, doctors assist their, like, they assist them in self-repair, but it's not real tikkun. And I think that's enough to explain why ripoy is considered grama, but tikkun akli is like a bona fide liability. I mean, it's kind of like, it's a nice distinction. It's a nice distinction. I'm not sure if it's 100% persuasive, but more importantly, what's at the bottom of the distinction here? What's the Chazon Ish drawing a distinction between? Yeah, no.
Something that can never be restored or returned, and something that can be.
Meaning, like, are we just fixing it, or like, are we fixing it? Or are we creating a new thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think both in this section and the previous one, he makes a distinction. First, in Shevet, it's something that can never be fully restored or returned. And whereas when it comes to Ripoy, if it's possible for an animal to heal, then it can go back to its original form. So to hear, if an object can never really be repaired because it's a new kli, an animal can be repaired because it has, there's always this like internal biological healing. So then the difference between the two, or between the three, I guess, is whether it has the ability to be restored to its previous
state. Yeah, that is what it sounds like, right? It's like, it's almost, and so the Chazon Ish says it in a few places. He has like this conception of like, is it the same thing that's just being cured, or is it a different thing now? And he wants to say in Kalim, she'uman metakno kli chadash, ve'ein kli chozo kadmus alolam. That's like what's critical. So the reason why you pay like the meitikun is really like you're paying for, it's like the mazik destroyed it, and now he has to pay for a new one, basically. Yeah. Just he pays for like the cheapest way of getting a new one, which is like to use the stuff of the old one. But when it comes to behema, he's saying, look, it's the same animal. It has like more like resilient persistence through time or something because of its self-healing powers. And then even in cases where it's not actually causing its own self-healing, it's still the same animal that's just being repaired. And so there's no touch on the replay. Put differently, I think the Chazon Ish is saying that the Nesivos is wrong to conceive of tikkun as a kind of replay bekalim. That's not what tikkun is. Tikkun is really like a tashlumin for a kli chadash, and that's why the Nesivos is wrong to try to draw an analogy from tikkun akelim to replay bebehema. Whereas the Nesivos himself conceived as tikkun bekalim as a kind of just replay bekli, which naturally extends to replay bebehema.
You know, there's never a theme of respiration.
Right, he's like anti shach.
Right.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And look here. Here you can see the Chazon Ish says this, I think, in a different way. L'chein tinfu kelav. So suppose I'm like driving a car by on a muddy day and I splash your clothing or something. So chashvina nezek, over kama chapches. Umash ma'afil afshel lahavir hatina. So Chazon Ish is saying, look, if I get your clothes dirty, it sounds like I have to pay you despite the fact that you could just clean the stain off your clothes. So doesn't that seem like it's just ripoy? Like you just pay the dry cleaner to take the stain off? Does he want to say that that's like a new suit? Is that what the Chazon Ish wants to say, Isaac? Yeah. So that's exactly what he wants to say. He says, Machna filu asha lahavir hatinov, chen behur behegev nida nemches. That's the nida case. The im nichna habegev yara shol chagel kapso. The nira demare, like appearances, mikri mitzias, ukeshemachapso yotzer begin meluban. V'choshe hakesa nezek aliman tikkun mechudash. He wants to say like, when you bring your clothes to the dry cleaner, it's like you get your new clothes back.
You say shekiyanu if you take your
suit. Yeah, it's a good nafkamina here, right? So if your animal has tchias amesim, there's no shekiyanu. Right, but if you like brought your clothes in to get dry clean, then that's like considered. And he says, you see, he's kind of like he's not so great. He's like v'nira demara migri mitzias. Right, there's like a mitzias of like mara. If you're a lucky in the bathroom, you say like appearance is like a secondary quality. It's not a primary quality or something. But the Chazon Ish wants to that it's still considered a mitzias kadosh. Avram.
So
the
Chazon Ish is really difficult to defend as like a categorical assessment. Every type of damage by an animal is sort of similar, and like whether sometimes you guys
yeah.
Very hard
yeah.
to
Because he's trying to preserve, like, the Sheves, Ain Sheves Ripoy Vehema.
Right.
Right? Or at least Ain Ripoy Vehema.
The perspective he's trying to articulate is clear. It's active.
Right. It seems very... Yeah, it seems like he's going to say, look, so suppose I like, color on your animal, right? So is he going to say I have to pay you, like, the Nezikin cost to, like, get your animal washed down? Because Mar is a Metzias Hadash. That's not normal. That's not, like, naturally repaired by the body. Or does he think, no, that's also considered, like, a kind of self-repoy? It's not clear, right? Sounds like he would say, like, I'm liable for, like, coloring on your animal, but not for, like, cutting off your animal's skin or something, you know? That's my impression here. Eitan.
Just a broader question. So we mentioned last week, or 2 weeks ago, the possibilities, whether it's compensation for Nezek,
yeah,
or it's
repair.
So could you just say that? It's purely compensation, and that would be the...
That's what Isaac was saying, I think. Isaac was saying that you see that the Chaznish is implicitly denying that Shach-esque view of repair. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so that's all I have to say for Sheves and Ripoy. There's more to try to figure out in the sugya itself, but that's the general overview that I wanted to cover here. Noah, and then we'll move on.
So, based off of Chazanish's perspective on Ripoy, he thinks that the difference between Ripoy for Adam Behema is, like, kind of similar, because we also have the same, like, regenerative...
But he's clearly going to acknowledge that Ripoy for Adam is Chayiv.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But he'll just say that that's, like, a special Chiddush HaTorah or something. I think, like, Isaac was saying this, like, you know, well, Chabal Abadam is, like, its own category, and so... Maybe there's like a different basis for that liability, right?
Yeah.
Whereas the Nesivis thinks that Chabal Ba'adam and Ripoy for Behemah have like a common ground. Yeah. Good?
Do you need Nezek for Sheves and Ripoy
Ba'adam? I mean, can you have cases of Sheves and Ripoy? Yeah, before you can.
Like
where you lock somebody in the room or something.
I kind of motivate that. More
like
the reason why they're more set up is the large distinction between
Adam
and other
Nezikim,
where they are very different rules
of government. Right, you don't need to get it in through Nezek, and whereas Adam you could have them separately or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point. Are you done?
Yeah, so the Taz, if you remember when we were talking about the tour, you're talking about Adam and whether or not there's such thing as one as Gamor, the Bach.